Okay. So we're holding here in Bayes. He had spoken about what Lishma is, what the tachas of learning is, and what the ultimate schar is. He spoke about the fact that we have to get to the sense of Shleimus, what we want in Shleimus, in a very slow way. In other words, a Lishma is something that shayach only to very, very high madrega. It's both appropriate to start with a lower madrega, so long as we keep focusing on moving towards a high madrega. So ultimately lishma. That's what he was said in Beis, and now we have Gimel here. Umamash etzar chataladas ki divrei chachamim shel nechku b'vnadim shalosh kitos. He's now going to speak about the different ways in which people look at divrei Chazal. In Chazal Nagarata, mainly. Hakata rishayna v'roiv mishreisiv, mishreisiv chibur mishreitalov. The first kat, and that includes the majority of Sfarim that he saw, tekabel oisam kipshotam. They take it as it says. V'loi tefarash impirish nista b'shum panim. They don't ever say that Chachamim meant something other than what the pshat reads. V'yiu etzlo hanim noz kulom chavos ha-metzius. So things that are impossible, they say, have to be. In other words, even if Chazal say things that are opposite than what could possibly be, they say, no, that's what it says. The reason they say it is because they really don't understand much, not very wise people. They don't know science. And they don't have any of their own understanding. Nobody has in any way brought their attention to it. They say that Chachamim meant what they meant. Hi, Tzvi, you're on? Hi, first of all, yes, I got the book you sent me. Okay. We're holding here, we just started Gimel, and it deals with the Rambam's understanding of how to understand Chazal. So the first group, he says he sees three groups of people in how they understand it. The first group are people that take it at face value and very strongly believe in it. In other words, whatever Chazal says, as the words read and are translated, that's what it means. He says that these people just simply don't know enough, don't understand enough, and that's why they don't understand that certain things just can't be. And he says a very strong lashon. He said, "V'yitzlam v'yu etzla hanim nois kulon mechuyavas hametzias." Things that are impossible, they feel that must be. If Chazal said so, so even if it's impossible, it must be like that. Elam hashevinim v'shehinam kipshotehem. And even though some of the Pashto meaning seem to be a little bit incredible, if you tell people exactly what it says, and even to the Chasha people, they would be astonished. They would say, how is it possible someone could actually believe this? And to think that it's right. So people who take divrei Chazal, every single Chazal, at face value, flat as it is, have a problem. This poor group, one should commiserate with their foolishness. They think that they're making Chazal. Ah! We believe every single word Chazal says, gevaldik. But v'imashpilo is a betachas shiflus. They're really lowering them. V'einam agish, they don't realize that they're making a shmat out of Chazal. Chai Hashem, ki zois hakat me'abedes hadras adas u'mafila zayra. This cat destroys the dignity and the beauty of religion. And it's they're actually what they're making out of Torah is the opposite of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. How so? That it says the Torah says that when people hear the Torah that Klal Yisrael has, everybody says, "Wow, such a smart Torah, such smart people." They say over pshatim rachamim, mashiilu shmoa umas hayoymi rak am sochav novel agoya kotnaze. That if the nations would hear it, they would say, "Wow, what a stupid group of people." Veroiv mishayaseze heim adashanim avorim leadam shavino heim. Darshanim need what to tell over to resolve the things that they don't understand. Valavai hoyeshayskim be much better if they would shut up. Hoyle veda mafina, because they don't understand. Miyite in hachesh tachishun usilayim l'chachma. Like Eev told them, you know, if you would keep quiet, people would think you're smart. Oyche oimrim, loy neida maratzacham be'eladvarim, v'leheichis parashu. Or at best they could say, we don't understand this chazal. That's also legitimate. You don't have to understand everything. Ele yashu shevinim, they think they understand them. V'yikshu lahavim le'odam ha'shevinuhim nafshayisam. They try to tell them what they understood, loy masham chachamim, and they don't really understand what Chazal really said. The Yiddishu b'Hashem drushes brachos uperik chelik v'zalosam shudim mila mila. They take that gadot as a brachos and chelik, and they darshan kipshuta mila b'mila. That's one kat. Hakat hashniya rabim gam kein v'heim oisam shirodi v'chamay shma'um. These are people that saw the Chazal or heard it. They also understand as being pshat. And they also say that Chazal meant it literally. They are going to, and what they do is they make fun of it. They make fun of Chazal. So they say, Chazal are stupid, they're full of fairy tales and other nonsense. We are intelligent and enlightened. But Chazal are stupid fools, idiots, swallowed anything, they didn't understand anything. You know who he says the people that feel this way? People who think that they're doctors and stargazers. I'm not sure how to translate. I mean, what exactly the equivalent would be today, but they think that they're very smart, they're big philosophers. And they really are so far away from real philosophers, from people who really understand. They're even foolish, more foolish than the first kat v'esipsoim, v'kat arura. And this is a kat arura. Because they sort of speak out, they lash out against very chasha people. Chachamim understand the value, don't understand the stature of Chazal. If they'd really be chachamim, they would understand how you're supposed to transmit different divine in Yanim, Eitzel Hamom Etzechidim, Vayyoyidna Sechelikam Maisim in philosophy, they would understand how to apply philosophy, Vayyim Izbarlem in Chachom, Chachomim Heimim Loi, they would understand whether or not Chachomim, Vayyim Uvonlem in Yanim Divreim, they would understand what they meant. In other words, it's their half-baked Chachomim. They know that what it says Kipshutai doesn't make any sense. They don't realize what the content that's inside these Divrei Chazal. So we have two kitos. Both of them accept the words of Chazal in Agarata in their literal meaning, the literal reading, as being the reading that's right. So the first group believes in things that you can't possibly believe in, that couldn't be emes. The second group mocks it, makes fun of it, and they use it as an axe to destroy Chazal and their value. Vakata Shlish is the third group. Vihicha Hashem Ma'atimah. That's a very small group. Atchleyoma leokat elakemoshe oma laShemesh min. It's like, imagine you say about the sun that it is a species. Well, I mean, today we do know that there are many suns or things like suns, but without that, somebody would say, well, the species called suns. What do you mean species suns? One. So he says it as a sort of a nice turn of phrase. I'm referring to these people as a group, but it kind of has very few people in it. These are people who are convinced that Chachamim are very big and deep people. Because I see many other mamarim. I see from Chazal their real hasagas and their real understanding. These people also understand that what can't be, and what has to be. In other words, they don't just wipe away things around us and nature and common sense. And they recognize, they believe that Chazal would never say things that are nonsense. And they understand that the words of Chazal have a nigla and a nista. There's a hidden open part. And those things that Chazal said that are not possible, it's just meant to be a riddle of sorts and a mashal. A metaphor is basically the way to describe it. Not as a riddle, a metaphor is probably the right way to say it. And that is the way Chachamim do it. And that's why the Shlomo HaMelech calls his work Lehavid Moshel Melitza Dibrei Chachamim V'Chidoisim, to understand Moshel Melitza and Dibrei Chachamim and the Chidois. Let's explain this concept of Moshel for a minute, and then he'll explain the term of Chida and why Moshel is so significant. Whenever I translate from one language to another language, so what I'm doing in effect is I make the following point. Words are a package that contain items inside, thoughts. So the words I say contain thoughts that I have. Now, you don't understand those words. It's not your language. So I take the content of those words, I repackage it in other words that are familiar to you, and that's what I give to you. That's every translation. When a person is a chacham and he's trying to explain to people divrei chachma, so what he does is, I'm trying to explain to you something that really, you don't know how an atom works or whatever it is. I do understand it, but the language I use is a language that's meaningless to you. So I take things from your world and I prepackage it with that content. So that's the idea of mashal. What's the word chida? Why is it called chidoisam? Riddles? I mean, riddles are a cute thing for kids. What does it mean? Why are they called riddles? For noida min amuskim b'loshen ki chidu adova shekavanosei bin istore v'loib nigleo. Mesham achudon olachem chida. A riddle what makes a riddle, we'll use the riddle dick. What makes a riddle is that what I'm telling you sounds like something very else than the content of what I'm telling you. It's almost a deliberate camouflage. I ask you something that instead of those words directing you to what's inside, it's hiding it. So normal language, not riddles. So if you ask me what's in the box, I'll tell you in the box is chest of drawers, whatever it is. Fine, but if I want to riddle it, then what I'm going to say is, in this box, I have something which is normally the box for the box or something like that. I don't know, you know, some riddle like that. So what I'm doing is I'm using the words to camouflage the content. The riddle, the content of the riddle is always in that which is hidden from the eye, not that which is open to the eye. Okay, sha'ama achidan lechem chida. Lefi shedivrei anshei chochma kulam binyanim harom hashem atachlis am chida mashal. All of divrei chachamim, when they deal with the topics, with esoteric topics, with topics of like Kabbalah, are chida mashal. Ve'eich yegune chibura mechochma b'derech hamashal v'dimui b'dvarim nemuchem emayim. And why would you look down at chachma that speaks in metaphor, and even in very very in very common and sort of semi coarse metaphor? For like tira shachachma mekaldim kozas ruach hakodesh shlomo melachti din ruach hakodesh tzedelei mashlemei b'misha shehashem mitzvos kehelas. How could you say that it's wrong to give a metaphor meaning for Chazal when first of all it's appropriate for the Seichel and you see it that way in Tanakh? They themselves, Chazal, take phrases in Navi and they say it was only a metaphor. V'yemes, k'ma shimtsoim oimrim, ki mayim ha'kosuv hu hikas shnei ariel moyov, kule moshel. V'chein omri hu hikas ari b'sei chabor moshel. V'rom yishkeini mayim. U'sham ha'shenim shach ha'kol moshel. So Chazal said that all this is a moshel. V'chein seif yi b'chloloi, omri k'tas a moshel hoya. V'loi bi'al eze yin husam zeh a moshel. V'chein meisi cheskel, omri k'tas a moshel hoya v'harbe k'moy zeh. So you see that Chazal themselves understood that many of the Nyanim in Navi were Mashal. So if Chazal felt it's appropriate for Nevi'im to speak in Mishalim, would it not be appropriate for Chazal to speak in Mishalim? V'im ata hama'ayin me'achas mishteh kitzus rishaynis. And if you belong to one of the first two groups, don't look at any of my explanations on Agarata. It won't help you one bit. It's going to harm you. You're going to hate it. So here he says a very interesting point. He says, how somebody who's used to food that is very refined, very delicate food, and he's giving it to a person, and you're giving it to a person who's used to like coarse, really coarse stuff. Al yazikum yisnaim, he'll hate it. Halo tira maima oisam sheisragu bachilas habatzel. The people who had eaten the butzah shum dog mao oimim nashenu kotzah b'lechem ha'kleikel. Let me stop a minute and talk about this, because I think this is an important point that the Rambam is saying over here. And the Rambam is like the the Meshulam is giving a very refined understanding, very sophisticated understanding. When we learn Chumash, we say to ourselves, you know, it doesn't make any sense that people like the man was so fantastic, so wonderful, so good, so what's the problem with it? It gave you all the nourishment you needed, and then it had no negative components to it, and you know, like all the Chazal describe it. So you don't understand. The answer is that the answer is that the people in the Midbar, man was a very, very, very refined food. It did not have much physicality. It had almost no physicality. So it's very hard for people who are physical to be able... Hello? 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 It's very hard for people who are physical and coarse in any way to relate to things that are refined, that are somewhat that need some sort of they're not things that you can tap with your hand, so to speak. So even though technically the man gave them everything they needed to live on, but physically they were not experiencing any food. They didn't have anything that they could actually sink their teeth into, and that was very, very devastating for them. I mean, they couldn't survive with that. So he says, and same thing is true in Chachma. A person who's used to a person who's not used to thinking very, very... one minute, I'm going to call in again. Hello? Okay, we lost it. So how many minutes was I down? Okay, so he says like this. So he gives here a very beautiful mashal when he speaks over here about the food and the man, that people didn't appreciate it because nafshenu katzalech maklokel. When a person is very, very physical, even if you give them the best food, but there's nothing to touch, if somebody would wave a magic wand, and we would get all the nourishment that we need without eating, we would have a problem, because we wouldn't have the physicality of it, the physical experience of it, and therefore he says they would. So people rebelled against the man, because the man, there was nothing to chew on. There was nothing to absorb. You didn't feel full. You just didn't need to eat. You just took the man and that was it. I had that experience once, many, many years ago. I was in the hospital for a week. I couldn't eat, so I had IV and I was getting basically all my nutrition. I also had very high temperatures. So I wasn't really, I didn't feel like eating. So the IV took care of everything. But I so much wanted to drink a hot cup of coffee. I so much wanted to take a cracker. It just the physical experience of the food. So people who aren't coarse have a problem with it. And that's why people love a darshan who has a lot of stories and jokes and, you know, they like things that are much more physical. The more you speak about things that are refined, ideas and concepts and so on, it's hard. So therefore, these are things that he said, if you belong to that group of people, the stuff I'm telling you is going to be problematic. You're not going to like it. However, he says, "V'ma toman shekata shlishis, u'bechol eishe tagia l'dom edivrei mashach hikeo seichel tamer etzlei, v'teide shuchida mashal." And if you're part of that group, and anytime you get to some chazal that is a that has that quality, you'll realize that it's only a chidor mashal for something. And you're going to think and plug over understanding what is its inner meaning. And you're going to try to understand what does it really mean. Then you look into what I said, and you'll find a real tuelis. So the Rambam, first of all, is putting down here his yesod in understanding many chazal. This is especially true, I guess, in the wake of what he said before, that when you're going to be talking about many of these topics, we're going to have to use a metaphor, and you can't understand, if you understand Olam Haba as a physical place with a lot of green grass and waterfalls and fruit trees, you have a problem. And he does not want you in his audience, basically. The truth is, this approach to many chazal were I'm amazed because somebody put out a sefer, I don't want to mention the name of it, about different inyanim and emuna, and he has a chapter entitled that you have to believe Divrei Chazal Kipshutam. I don't know where the person got it from. The verse in our place says not. It's the Rambam says not. The Ramchal in his Akdamot in our goddess says not. And the Maharal, the Maharal is a sefer. The whole Maharal is built on knocking the same two groups the Rambam knocks. The people who make fun of Chazal and say that Chazal has a shalom are stupid or whatever it is. He obviously lashes out quite viciously. But the people who take Chazal as literal truths without bothering to think about it and trying to understand the deeper truth in it, he's just as quite severe in Maharal. And the Maharal has a sefer, even though all of his forum of the Maharal are there in order, basically, even though they're dealing with different topics, his point is, if you understand Chazal, you'll understand everything about it. So that's his approach. So, you know, if you really understand the Chazal, you'd understand what he's talking about. So he says, the understanding of the Maharal in Bera Gola is a special sefer that deals with seven areas that people made fun of Chazal and felt that they were wrong or not knowledgeable. It deals with all of them. So the type of drushes they make in psukim, the type of things they say about God that sounds very anthropomorphic, the things that they say about science and so on. The same type of stuff people have times today. And the Maharal's point is that Chazal were never talking about the chitzonis of something. So when they discussed some physical phenomena, they were always focused on the conceptual content rather than on the physical reality. And that's the point Maharal makes time and again, all over. And in Bera Gola, makes that point again and again and again. Chazal conceptualizing. And that does seem to be the way to understand the Chazal. And like he says, Chazal themselves said that about in things Navi. That's the appropriate way to understand it. The Sefer of Chachma is called Mishlei. The understanding that Chazal, when once they started speaking about deeper in Yanim, for many reasons, and one of them will be the next piece, Chazal spoke in metaphor. Metaphor means translating it into a different language, which is easier for you to chap, and it will convey the same idea as the original words would. Okay, we'll hold it here. You have any questions, any points to make? Which, so the Rambam, I mean, the Rambam says, and I think everybody agrees, is that it's a certain mishkal. We ask ourselves, the Maral has the mashal place, it says where there was somebody whose wife died and left him a baby, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, and he grew breasts and nursed her. So the Maral asks, over there, Kadosh HaGadol, was it kipshuta? Was it not kipshuta? It goes back and forth. You know, you do find a concept of Chol of Zachar, so maybe it could be, but at the end he decides it's a mashal. I'm always saying it over because I love it, what how he explains it. He says what it means is that the father was always able to find food to feed the kid, like eggs or milk or whatever it is. So he asks, so why does it say in the Gemara over there that they were Mishana Maisa Bereishis for him? So the Maral says, for a father to be able to know what to do with a kid, you know, constantly and consistently, is a nes, because it's connected the Tev of Maisa Bereishis. That's a very cute pshat, it's a very nice pshat, but they add some musig of it. So you're done, you take a look, and you say to yourself, does it sound to me the Chazal here are making a factual statement? Was the Chazal that they're talking about something? And if they say Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas high, so does it sound, I mean, if everybody else was 3 amas the way we are, he would be deformed. Being that size would be a deformity. So obviously 10 amas means a certain size and stature. 10 amas is a metaphor for something. We can talk about it, we can discuss it. But it's a question, I guess, of using intuition or seichel or whatever to make that determination. But across the board, then you have the Ramchal, and you have the Maral, you know, it's quite clear that that's the, I think that that's the Mahalach. Okay, the next 3 weeks, next week I'm going to be in